The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome into Old School 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. I am Austin Norman, live inside the 93.7 The Ticket studios at 1040 O Street, northwest corner of 11th and O. Our friends at the mill open for another 45 minutes or so. If you need a late day boost, come in, say hi to them. And hopefully you have already made your stop at the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, whether you're in Lincoln or in Omaha. They've got three locations across those two great cities for you. 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill in Lincoln, as well as 168th and Maple up in Omaha. There might not be better grilling weather all year than you're going to get this weekend. So if you plan to grill, make sure the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese is part of your plan for every type of meat and every type of cut. As our esteemed guest on our Aloe VIP line would like to say, let's go there now. Welcome in Husker Hall of Famer, host of Old School, Jay Foreman. Jay, how's the road?
I'm not in the deep part of Texas, in North Texas, and I would say the traffic meter is about 20 times as harsh as Lincoln or Omaha. So we're on the very last end before we get to the hotel, but it's obviously going to take us about another 30 minutes at least. So we're bumping a bump right now, and in the north part of Dallas.
You're in Stricktown. You going to meet up with Strick at all this weekend?
Highly doubt it. I mean, it's too big of a town. I don't know where Strick is at, and we got some basketball games, and then we got to hit the road back.
Here's the other thing. I mean, you're a Houston guy, obviously, through your time with the Texans. Strick is a Dallas guy through his time with the Mavericks. Bellevue, yeah, I guess where he went to high school. Yeah, Lincoln's where he played his college ball. But Strick runs Dallas, and he'll let you know about it. So even if you wanted to connect with Strick, you're on his home turf, and he acts different down there, I've been told.
Yeah, I mean, I got a cousin that lives down here, and Strick doesn't know. And so, I've heard about when Strick gets down to Dallas and how he acts, but you know, each his own, man. I know he likes it down here. They love him down here. So, you know, when you make your name for yourself as a player, you always have a home away from home.
That you do. Jay, what's got your attention today in the sports world?
Well, obviously, the big news where, Kentucky struck out not once, not twice, third time on all the potential replacements for, you know, Don Calipari. And then obviously they got one of their own to commit. I think it was probably an underwhelming hire. I was listening to a podcast from DeMarcus Cousins, and he was talking about Arkansas and Fayetteville will be the place to be very shortly, because that's the same way, you know, Cal made Lexington, Kentucky, and Kentucky will never be able to replace somebody like him in this day and age of the transfer portal, NIL, and then obviously with the emergence of everybody else in the Southeastern Conference. And so the hire was right on par for what DeMarcus Cousins says, because of, you know, look, you don't get Hurley, you don't get Jay Wright out of the studio, and then you have to go back and get Mark Pope, who obviously played at Kentucky, but definitely coming from BYU is probably not the highlight of the hiring cycle.
It's absolutely not, and I think underwhelming is a good word for it. I don't think it's a bad hire, but underwhelming is definitely fair, especially given the other names that you threw out there, and even some others. But I'm of two minds of this. On the one hand, Jay, I think Kentucky, and Mitch Barnhart specifically, the athletic director, maybe didn't flex all the muscle it could have in this search, you know, not aggressively pursuing Billy Donovan at all, not reaching out to even like Rick Pitino for a meetup. Obviously, they contacted Scott Drew and Dan Hurley, but to some degree, I think Kentucky moved a little too fast. The flip side of that is this is a new age of college athletics that we're still learning, and with the transfer portal open and how important it is to be active in that market, I can understand Kentucky not wanting to wait too long just to maybe get Billy Donovan. This way they at least have a coach in place who might not be the top option, but is at least a good option. Did Kentucky move too fast? Yeah. Were they too impatient, or do you think they felt like they had to move just because of this day and age?
Yeah, I think they had to move, and I think they learned real quickly what they, you know, really, you know, are. You know, I think when right. John Calipari, you know, Kentucky's a blue blood. It's probably, you know, North Carolina, you know, UCLA, obviously Indiana, and Duke. You know, those are the, you know, the bell cows of the blue blood. But, you know, Kentucky has been through some ups and downs. And then obviously, you know, John Calipari, I think, took it, you know, irregardless of national titles or not, it was the place to be. But I think Kentucky itself thought they made John Calipari, and that wasn't the case. It was in this new age, he was able to compete, recruit, develop, obviously, to the NBA level with numerous lottery picks and first round picks, and even second round picks end up being, you know, stalwarts in the NBA. They thought they were, you know, like we would say, they thought they were real sweet, and then they realized that, you know, it weren't so sweet because Jay Wright has a really good gig, right? He retired for a reason, obviously. I would think this is a job that he would take because he fits the script with the personality that struck out on him. Dan Hurley is very comfortable in UConn, and what it tells me up there in UConn is University of UConn is that he'll get a new like a little bit of a pay bump that's, I would say a hometown discount, but it's going to put him up there in the top 10. And then when Drew turned it down, I think that was, I don't know, I wasn't excited about the hire anyway. I think the reality set in. I think the pressure was going to be too much for Drew. And then you get Mark Pope. I think you're trying to make a good hire. You can dress it up as a former player, alumni coming home. He did well at BYU, and it's a safe hire. And also, you don't want to wait too long because you want to try to keep some of the roster intact, and then also some of the commits. And so, you know, you had one big decommitment right when Calipari, you know, was in his press conference at Arkansas, and Calipari's already been in conversation with him. So I think it's probably the best time for Kentucky because Billy Donovan coming back from the NBA, times has changed. I'm not really sure what he can do at a college level. Being out of college, coming back from the pros, it's a totally different recruiting cycle, totally different athlete, totally different time in college sports. Now, I think he'd be a successful coach. I think he's a great coach. I would probably hang my hat on he's probably a better college coach than pros, but I think he's starting to find his way at the pro level, obviously. So, really, it's probably not as appealing as it would be, say, a couple of years ago. So, I think time has passed, you know, as far as Kentucky do that. And then the Rick Pitino thing, I think there's a little bit of stars there, you know, for him leaving to go to Celtics. So, you know, ultimately, you know, they went with Pope. And you know what? He might exceed expectations. He knows what it takes. And, you know, he has a great mentor in Rick Pitino that could teach.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
In a way, maybe to, you know, navigate through the, you know, the wine and cheese part of the University of Kentucky alumnus.
When I look at Mark Pope, I think it's a good hire. I think it's a modern basketball hire just with the style that Mark Pope plays. I mean, had a stretch five or at least played a five-out offense at BYU. But his teams got out-toughed pretty consistently. They held their own in the Big 12, but you saw what Duquesne did to them in the first round. I mean, that's a good Duquesne team, but BYU I thought was better all year. Maybe Duquesne just got hot, you know, played their cards right, whatever. I'll just throw this out there too. Mark Pope didn't necessarily elevate Utah Valley after Mark Madsen left. He didn't necessarily elevate BYU after Dave Rose left. He hasn't won an NCAA tournament game, and those programs maybe maintained their success, but Mark Pope didn't take the next step at these schools. So taking a chance on him, assuming that he's going to elevate Kentucky, seems like a stretch just based off his resume.
Yeah, I think, like I said, it's more, I mean, look, we've been thinking about it a couple times, you know, ourselves at Nebraska, you know, even prior hires in the football program, where you can kind of, you can you know, spruce up the resume as much as you want to kind of convince yourself that it's going to work out. So, you know, only time will tell, but you're completely right. You know, look, BYU against the game, they just flat out got out tough. They got out, you know, in a lot of ways, they got out coached because you got to think, LeBron James' old high school coach, you know, took him to the woodshed as far as clock management, timely inbound play, sideline, inbound plays, and then obviously their pace of play really wore down BYU in the tournament. And that's just a quick snapshot. But overall, I think he was steady Eddie at BYU. I think some of the things he does with a stretch 4 and 5 can bode well in the the SEC, so I think it matches up. Meaning, when you think if you can recruit and get the athletes, you'd be able to match up maybe a little bit better with the Auburns and stuff like that. But ultimately, he's going to have to raise his level of coaching. He's going to have to really, really hire well. Obviously, to recruit where he's at, because recruiting to BYU and recruiting to Kentucky is totally two different sides of the world of recruiting. So he's going to have a little bit of a personality change. And staff change in order to be successful.
And obviously he's been to Kentucky before. I didn't know this until my Kentucky friend pointed it out. Mark Pope was a captain on that 1996 Kentucky team that ended John Calipari's time at UMass in the Final Four there, that 1-versus-1 matchup. So, I mean, Mark Pope's been around Kentucky, but that was also, you know, darn near 30 years ago now. But here's this question for you, Jay. Who's the best men's basketball coach in the SEC right now? Is it between Pearl and Oates? Is Rick Barnes in that conversation? Because clearly it's not Kentucky's head coach anymore.
I think it's Oates right now. I mean, obviously the way he came into Alabama and raised that profile, obviously this year's run probably put them ahead of Bruce Pearl. Bruce Pearl and Auburn have been a disappointment. I think Barnes has done a really good job. I think obviously kind of getting shunned out, you know, quickly out of Texas. He landed on his feet in Tennessee, but they haven't been able to get over the hump as well. So I would definitely say Oates. And then, you know, Pope, he's been around Kentucky. I think Kentucky is extremely different than when he was a player. Like every university, like Nebraska, is different than when I played as far as the football team goes. And so he's just going to have to figure out, you know, and navigate his way around the new, you know, college basketball landscape. And it's going to take us some time because even though BYU is in the Big 12, and in the Big 12, you know, during the regular season at least, is the best basketball conference, like on paper, coaching at Kentucky at this time, replacing the legend, both, you know, as far as winning a national championship, as far as John Calipari is concerned, plus also a legend in the recruiting and development, realm, is a big ask of football. Actually, it's a big ask of any coach. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's a little bit younger. He's going to have to make his mark, but also he's going to have to tread water softly because even though, you know, it came out of nowhere that Calipari was leaving or potentially even going to Arkansas, he still has probably 60, 70, 80% of that fan base that definitely respected what he did and wanted him to you know, stay and be retained as a coach. And so he's going to have to be patient. And then as long as he comes in and his teams perform, and obviously he does his due diligence as a coach and development of the players as a coach, he'll be just fine.
I don't want to give people whiplash, but I do want to go back to the recruiting part here to end this segment. You mentioned the jump, right? I mean, from Utah Valley to BYU, that's completely different. And then BYU to Alabama is obviously, I mean, different culturally, different legacy, different history in all sorts of ways. We see this with coaches, you know, across sports, Jay, where you go from a mid-major job to a power conference job, or even a power conference job to a blue blood. We see these transitions happen all the time. What all goes into changing the mindset in recruiting from a BYU to a Kentucky? I kind of think of like Nick Saban, right, going from Michigan State to LSU, or even then to Alabama. Not that, you know, Mark Pope is Nick Saban, but Michigan State, I think football is comparable to BYU basketball, but then you make that leap to a blue blood. What all goes into the adjustment and recruiting mindset?
Well, first of all, you gotta change the idea of what a player, your type of basketball player, the type, what type of player you want or need, based on, whatever offensive sets and schemes you're trying to be, to implement. So you got to be clear and very, steadfast in what you want and what you need, and then also you got to be able to develop to that, certain, criteria. So that's where it starts, and then obviously you got to have the energy of the coach. You got to put in your fingerprint on the program, because you're going to ultimately have to be the closer, and that's what high school kids and kids, going to different places after. Or these coaches have to realize that these kids are coming to play for you. The university is great. Everything that you can offer them is great. Or a lot of it, a lot more than, Utah Valley and BYU. But ultimately, Coach Pope is going to be, he's going to make Kentucky, great, or make Kentucky back into the coaching search in, next 4 or 5 years. So, and then the biggest thing is, even with this budget, right, he's going to have probably 6x, times of, money for his recruiting budget and, NIL and all this other stuff. You have to have a good staff, or you have to be able to, this is which probably is the most crucial, develop the staff that you bring. Doesn't matter if they're, new to the game, old to the game of recruiting and developing. You got to make sure that they are you are coaching them as well as the players. You can't just say, okay, well, I go hire X, person that used to, done a really good job at recruiting at this school, and I'll just leave them alone.
Husker Hall of Famer,
it's my job, and you're going to be paid handsomely for it. Mm-hmm. So you got to do what you got to do.
Sorry, Jay, lost you for a sec there. I thought you were done. That's on me. But it's Jay Foreman on the phone. Austin Norman here in the 93.7 Ticket Studios. Let's take a break. Come back with more Old School here in just a minute.
You're listening to Old School with DP and Jay. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.